From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Tuesday, April 25th. Coming up, we'll hear about how climate change is affecting a generations-old Illinois maple syrup business. That story from Charlie Schlenker in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Republicans in the Illinois Senate say they want a chance for their legislation to be heard, particularly when it comes to victims' rights. Jennifer Fuller reports.
The bills range from new penalties for dealing fentanyl to the ability for a coroner to list the cause of death as fentanyl poisoning rather than overdose. Additional legislation would allow pharmacies and other stores to more easily sell fentanyl testing strips so that people could test for the potentially lethal drug. Senator Dale Fowler of Harrisburg says too often people take fentanyl by accident when it's laced with other drugs or products.
It doesn't matter if you have a substance abuse problem. These people are victims and need to start being seen as though they are victims. They are not willingly taking fentanyl. They are not seeking to die. Those manufacturing, dealing, and selling this drug need to be held accountable.
In addition to bills focused on fentanyl, senators say they're proposing legislation that would make changes to penalties and charges in crimes involving domestic abuse and assault in an effort to bring justice to victims. They're calling on Democratic leaders to give the bills a hearing and bring them to a vote. I'm Jennifer Fuller.
Cook County Health has received nearly $1 million to replace aging equipment for the most vulnerable newborns. Kristen Schorsch has more.
Over the last few years, doctors at the county's flagship hospital, John H. Stroger Jr., have treated nearly 1,000 tiny newborns in the neonatal intensive care unit. But the equipment there is almost 20 years old and nearing the end of its life. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth helped secure nearly $900,000 for the effort.
I know, and I'm sure many of us here know, how difficult being a new parent is. The sleepless nights, the tears, doing everything you can to make sure our babies are safe and healthy. But for babies born prematurely or with complications, this stress is only increased.
The county is replacing most of the beds in the NICU. Kristen Schorsch, WBEZ News.
A new student ensemble at the University of Illinois is using different instruments to diversify the selections performed by the School of Music. Gilo Sanchez Portugues is a guitar professor. He says the Latin American ensemble plays a range of musical styles, from Mexico through the Caribbean.
When you say Latin American music, people are going to think Afro-Cuban music, you know, like salsa, maybe Afro-Brazilian music like samba or bossa nova, Afro-Dominican music like merengue and tango, maybe, and things like that. But there's a lot more. We're trying to cover that area of all these other styles.
Sanchez Portugues says they add new instruments depending on who joins the group. He hopes the ensemble will become a staple for the university community. Federal prosecutors are laying out their closing arguments against four former Commonwealth Edison executives and lobbyists accused of bribery. Dave McKinney reports from the federal courthouse.
What former House Speaker Michael Madigan wanted, ComEd gave. And what ComEd gave, ComEd got. Those are the phrases a federal prosecutor used repeatedly today to sum up the government's case for jurors. Prosecutors say executives and lobbyists for the utility giant got big legislative wins by paying off the powerful Democrat, not with cash, but with favors. Prosecutor Diane MacArthur pointed to Madigan-tied ghost subcontractors hired by ComEd, saying, quote, that was not legal lobbying. And of the appointment of Madigan's choice for the ComEd board, that wasn't just politics. MacArthur had one word for those things, bribes. Dave McKinney, WBEZ News.
Attorneys for the defendants are now summing up what they see as holes in the federal case, saying prosecutors failed to prove anything and are just trying to criminalize Illinois politics. Still to come, we'll hear about how climate change is affecting a generations-old Illinois maple syrup business. That story from Charlie Schlenker is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new four-part documentary, Fight the Power, How Hip-Hop Changed the World, recounts the origins of the revolutionary art form, hip-hop. The film explores hip-hop's roots as an expression of experience that was groundbreakingly unapologetic. Fight the Power was written by Public Enemy's Chuck D. It reveals how a black-focused cultural phenomenon changed American history, Learn how you can watch this and other documentaries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. The largest maple syrup producer in Illinois may not have a future as global climate change advances. Funk's Grove Pure Maple Syrup has been in business since the 1890s. Debbie Funk is part of the fifth generation of the family to tap maple trees in McLean County, south of Bloomington Normal, off Route 66. They have about 4,000 trees on 500 acres of land. In this interview with Charlie Schlenker, Debbie Funk says the last several years have had below average syrup production, and this one is no exception.
Well, it was a little disappointing. We made the bulk of our syrup in February this year. We're finding that the season seems to be getting earlier, a little bit earlier each year, and we're even contemplating maybe starting in January next year, depending on what the weather forecast looks like. But so we've always said traditionally our season is mid-February to mid-March, but the beginning part of March was just warmer than we would have preferred for maple syrup. We had too many days in the 50s and not enough nights in the 20s, and so we ended up with less than what we would have liked.
Why is that temperature important?
The temperature change is what makes the sap move in the tree. So when it's below freezing at night, the vessels constrict in the tree, and that draws the sap up kind of like a straw. And then when it warms up into the 40s, then that creates pressure inside the tree that allows the sap to drip out. And so we need that constant change in temperature to keep the sap moving. So when it warms up, it'll drip for a day or two, and then we need another freeze to draw more sap up.
What is an average year in production, and what was this year?
So in an average year, we'll make about 2,000 gallons of syrup. This year, we made right around 1,600. So a little bit below average this year. The quantity that we end up with can vary considerably from year to year depending on temperatures. So the worst year we had, we made only 800 gallons of syrup. It warmed up real early. We had some 70 degree days in late February. And so what the really warm temperatures do is if it's warm enough long enough, the buds will begin to swell on the trees. And once the buds swell on the sugar maple trees, once the buds swell, it changes the chemistry of the sap, and it's called buddy sap, and it has an off taste. So once the buds swell, we're done, even if after that we get good freezing thawing temperatures. So in that year, it just got warm enough really early that the buds were swelling earlier. And so, you know, it can be that bad, and then it can be as high as, I think, our best year was 3,000 gallons of syrup.
Is your experience with changes in the production season happening all over the country?
Yes. We have some friends up in Wisconsin, and I know they're experiencing the same difficulties that we had as far as it getting too warm too soon for them. Of course, they're in their season now. Their season is almost a month later than ours because they're that much farther north. But they have experienced warm days where they haven't made a lot of syrup.
Is there going to be a problem if you do move the harvesting season earlier, because January is not as reliably warm and still has a lot more really cold days than later in the season?
Right. So we're really going to have to judge each year whether we think we need to tap earlier or not. So we always look at the long-range forecast, and if it looks like it might be an early spring, then we're just going to have to adjust and try to start earlier, try to start in January, hoping that we'll hit the right time of the freezing thawing. You know, it isn't a sure thing, and every year is different, and every year we have to look at the weather and just hope we're judging the right time to tap.
So you're thinking this is global climate change?
Yes.
Longer term, how will you adjust other than by harvesting season?
Harvesting season? We don't have much else we can do to adjust, you know. We don't know what's going to happen in the future as far as if it's even going to be possible to make maple syrup in this area.
If central Illinois does actually have a climate in 50 years of more like East Texas, is that going to kick you out of the business?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, because we really do have to have those cold temperatures. We need a good cold winter. The colder the winter, the sweeter the sap. And then we need that period of freezing thawing. And so if it gets so warm that we don't get that, then it won't be possible to make pure maple syrup.
if you do 2,000 gallons or 1,600 mm-hmm. gallons this year, when does that run out?
Generally, August or September is when we're going to run out. It just depends on how quickly, you know, people come in and buy it.
So if you're 4,000 trees, what's an average family production company like?
I would say we're probably a mid-size, you know, compared to other syrup producers. There's a lot of very large syrup producers that are in the Northeast, and of course Canada makes the majority of pure maple syrup. There's some pretty big producers in Wisconsin, Michigan. Where we are is about as far south and west as you can be in North America to have a cold enough winter to make maple syrup. So in Illinois, we're the largest producers because there's just not very many groves of sugar maples in Illinois.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 60 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Jennifer Fuller, Kristen Schorsch, Luis Velasquez, Dave McKinney, and Charlie Schlenker. Music by the Kilburn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.